Oh, hell yes, this.
In Los Angeles, the women never comes. In Los Angeles, the mothers milk their young.
AJ Brown loves this song.
I'm seeing her on Thursday. St. Vincent.
Wow.
Big fan. All right, it is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. We got Stiz Jackson over the other room, and it's 93.7 WEEI. And this story is wild because I got to be honest. I didn't hear about it until you guys just told me about it. And the more I'm thinking about it, the more this just makes the Red Sox look pretty bad. We're going to have Tim Healy from the Boston Globe on with us in just a minute. And he wrote an expose, interviewed like a bunch of people around the organization about how Craig Breslow has been doing. You know, he gives him credit for a couple things as far as the pitching is concerned. But after that, it is just a very damning. But one thing that I have found to be the strangest is this Caleb Durbin story. Ken, can you kind of take me into what you just told me? Because as I said, I'm just catching up on this right now.
Well, I'm just going to go by what the company said. Bradfo was all over this yesterday on Baseball Isn't Boring here on EEI. He did a good job, and he talked to Durbin, which we'll hear from him in a second. But Durbin was in, obviously, a terrible funk. I thought he should be sent down. Pretty much everybody did, right? He was hitting,
sure,
you know, he was hitting 147 on the season. And they benched him, basically. He played three times from May 17th to the 27th. But he went and met up with this guy, local guy. He's got at least a satellite office, I think, in Waltham. It's called Gratum G-Swing. And the company put out a video. He says, Durbin came in. We broke down the data. We made the adjustments and got to work. A few days later, Durbin is 3-for-7 with two doubles. Teach, train, transfer. And you've seen, if you're watching the Red Sox lately, Durbin's a totally different guy. He's going the other way. Doesn't seem like a driveline Teddy where he's trying to pull and yank everything. He's back to just being,
how about that,
a scrappy hitter. So
hang on. So Durbin's going to a swing coach outside of the organization?
Swing company of sorts? Yeah, I guess. A swing coach? Yep.
And one that isn't, he wasn't sent there by the team?
Doesn't this sound is like it.
What are we doing?
Is that legal? I mean, you could do that, right?
No, I'm sure you can do it, but what does that say about how this organization is run?
It's wow. Not. I can't imagine that the guys that are all the hitting coaches are very happy with that, because you talk about territorial. There is nothing. You want to see just dudes like crapping on the dudes.
Yeah.
Get one trainer saying you need to do this, another trainer saying you need to do that, and go, oh, well, I went to this other trainer. You tell your trainer that you went to another trainer. They'll look at you like they want to punch you in the face.
Well,
like,
Alex Guerrero, right? I mean,
same thing. Same type of dynamic. So if you're getting advice outside of the, you know, the team, oh, the team frowns upon that.
Which, by the way, I don't blame Durbin for doing it, because nope. What's that saying is that he's telling everyone, our organization has crappy hitting coaches. Like, they suck so bad that I guess he's not the first. I'm reading about it now. Carlos Narvaez, I guess, did that in April. Mm-hmm. They helped him out of an early season slump, and they published a YouTube video too. Can you imagine being the Red Sox and seeing a video of your guy going outside, unless you don't give a rat's ass, unless you obviously know how bad your hitting coaches are? Dude, that sucks that these players feel that they aren't getting the help that they need. Out of all the things that you've needed the most help with, is someone like a hitting coach, all this driveline crap. That is wild. So Durbin was asked about it by Bradford?
Okay. Good job by Bradford. We talked to Durbin about this development.
Tell me a little bit about how, when you get to that point where you're like, okay, I really want to dig in on this, and maybe it's like from a trusted voice. I think you had, you know, your guy here. Should we say a name? Or
you can, yeah.
What's his name?
Lorenzo. Yeah.
Okay. And
The last couple of days. He's in town with one of my teammates. Just met him.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of my teammates works with him, so.
Yeah.
I love Lorenzo. We'll get help from Lorenzo.
And that's Carlos Narvaez, I think.
Jackson speed dating. I just met him. Just met her.
How great is it? Bradford's like, hang on, you're not the only one going to this guy? There's somebody else here that plays on the Red Sox who's going outside the organization to get batting help?
Lorenzo the Lobster.
It really is wild how almost everyone in the Red Sox has to go outside the organization to find out what's wrong with them.
Hire Lorenzo. I mean, seriously, they should hire this guy.
But of course.
But think about it. Who did, besides firing Cora, the staff that got fired the most was the hitting staff. So Pete Fatsy, Dylan Lawson, Joe Cronin, those were all hitting coaches under Cora that got canned a month ago. So think about that. All those hitting coaches are gone. And who replaced them?
Well, just think about it this way, because, you know, it made me think of a story with, I think it was Mac Jones. And remember when the offensive coordinator was, of course, everyone's favorite, Matt Patricia, the greatest offensive coordinator there's ever been.
And, great example. Keep going.
Yep. And what did he get in trouble for? He said, I'm not getting any help from this guy. He ain't an offensive coordinator. So he went down to Alabama and got help down there, and what ended up happening? Two coaches, they talked, they're best buddies, Bill Belichick and Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, hey, your guy is down here getting quarterback help from our guy. What the hell's going on, and what did Bill do?
Do you remember what Bill did?
He got pissed.
And did what? Do you remember what he did?
He wouldn't even mention his name.
He didn't. He started him. Was it the Monday night game? And then benched him.
It was the Zappening, right?
He put Zappy in.
Yeah.
For no reason. That was basically teaching him a lesson. Oh, you're going to go outside our organization and get advice? Watch this. I'm gonna start you. And I forget, what was the – oh, it was against the – I think it was against the Bears.
Yeah, it was the Bears.
And
yep.
It was a Sunday night game. He starts them and then benches them and puts Zappy in there.
Yep.
And it's Zappy time. And he just to embarrass him because of going outside of the team.
This story, I don't know why this isn't bigger than it is. I just found out about it. I mean, that just says something about this organization's priorities. And you put this on top of the Breslow article, which we're going to talk to the author here in just a minute. It's just that this is not a well-run organization.
Well, they're in flux. I mean, I think even they would admit we fired half of our staff. Would it shock you if the guys went elsewhere for some advice during this time where you have new faces coming in, new voices? I mean,
no, what would shock me is that the Red Sox weren't able to bring in competent people who live in town. They could have gotten this guy.
Hire him.
And they didn't hire him.
They're
not helping their own players. These players, you know what this sounds like these players are doing? They're saying, help us, please, help us. We're lost. And they're like, well, screw it. If you're not going to help us, we're going to go on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So good on Caleb Durbin having that wherewithal, that kind of motivation to say, if you're not going to help me, damn it, I'm going to go on my own.
6-for-17. He's on fire, this guy.
Listen, it apparently helped Narvaez.
Yep.
That's inexcusable.
Well, Ted went to a rival strength coach once. That went well for him.
Never not once.
Oh, you did?
I never did.
Okay.
They're just not in line. They haven't been. This stuff coming out, it's interesting. It's a lot of stuff. You're starting to wonder, is this the beginning of what might be the end for Craig Breslow, right? It feels like they're geared up. I mean,
they're heating it up.
This was a pretty, we're going to talk to Healy pretty soon. I mean, this is a pretty, jarring type of article.
Well, the Theo stuff's awesome.
This is the kind of article that usually comes out after somebody's gone.
Usually.
You know, the smear campaign. Like, he's being smeared right now. Like, before, but I'm not surprised by any of it, though. The fact that he seems to almost entirely rely on analytics and no feel and the lack of scouts, people who have been there who know what they're talking about. Their scout now seems to be computer programs that spit out stats. And you know what? They made a great point in the article, too, that spitting out those stats made you whiff and not bring back a guy like Kyle Schwarber.
Maybe Roman should go Lorenzo for some, hand advice. Just have him fix him up, have surgery with Lorenzo. By the way, there is one A.J. Brown report out there. It's from Jordan Schultz, who is somewhat controversial in the insider world. Do you trust Schultz, or should we just let that go?
I used to rip on Jordan Schultz. Jordan Schultz lately has been more right than wrong. I got to give him credit.
Yeah, do you have any
No, I'm okay with what Jordan has to say.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So he writes here 20 minutes ago, sources, the Pats and the Eagles have had deep discussions on a trade that would send A.J. Brown to New England for a 2028 first-round pick. Other details are still being finalized, but the expected deal is on track to happen. So it's nothing shocking, pretty much what we've heard, but it is a fresh quote-unquote report with sources. So just that out there.
All right. Well, as we're about an hour away from when we're supposed to hit A.J. Brown o'clock, when the big announcement happens. And when it does, we will announce it. As I said, how funny it will be if the show is over and there's no A.J. Brown.
No, Arkham 11.
Oh, man. I mean, this could three months, right?
But
they don't have to do this for 3 months.
But a great point by Keith. Right at the end of Jones and Keefe, he said, they're dominating the news cycle today with Myles Garrett. Why would you announce A.J. Brown? Why not save that for Tuesday?
Oh, so you're saying the NFL is wringing their hands.
Yeah,
what?
The Crafts and the Eagles want it a day later, too. So it's to get the full impact of it. I could see them wanting to wait till tomorrow.
Well, we shall see. Hopefully at 4 o'clock we'll have some news to break. But In just a moment, Tim Healy from the Boston Globe. He's the one who wrote that that expose about Craig Breslow. It is a great read, and it really goes into pretty good detail about what the rest of the league, as well as some of the people within the organization, including Theo Epstein, think of Craig Breslow and his methods as of late. We are not going anywhere. 2 minutes, and we'll be back with Tim Healy from the Boston Globe.